Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. The harvest is in full swing. It is the time of year when we enjoy the bounty farmers provide annually. But at what cost? 3/4 of farmers in Canada suffer from moderate to high stress. 1 in 4 contemplates suicide, according to a study done in 2021 by Guelph University. On today's show, we learn more about mental health in the agriculture sector. Northumberland County started a program to support farmers. It was the genesis of a province-wide program. The first interview will involve 2 current members of the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture talking about a new wave of funding to enhance the current program. It is called the Farmer Wellness Initiative and is part of Agriculture Wellness Ontario. I am so pleased to have with me today 2 directors of the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture, Lisa Meeks and Brian Cruz. Welcome to you both to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
Let's start by getting a picture of how big a problem mental health issues are amongst farmers. Now, I understand there was a study done in 2021 by the University of Guelph that found that 1 in 4 farmers in Canada had suicidal thoughts in the previous 12 months. It also said that 3/4 said they suffer from moderate to high stress. I'd like you each to think back to your experiences, both as farmers and in talking to farmers in your positions, as to what you find in terms of mental health issues. Let's start with you, Lisa.
Okay. I think mostly the stress of the business is what contributes to mental health issues for farmers. Things that they can't control and trying to maneuver around that, like weather, for instance. I think those stresses, although they are business stresses, transfer into mental health stresses.
Ryan, what's been your experience?
I would echo what Lisa said. I was surprised to hear that it was 1 in 4 that felt the stress of the business. You know, it's constant stress. Agriculture is a business like no other. You don't go home at night and leave the job. It's with you 24 hours a day. And when you wake up in the morning, you know, the problems that you didn't deal with the day before, they're right there staring you in the face again. So it's not something you can walk away from. Even if you go on a vacation, you know, when you come back, they're still there. So it's a 24-hour-a-day 7-day-a-week job, and compounding that right now is the extra stress, the low commodity prices, those things that, you know, not only is there a stress to manage the business and make sure the work gets done, the bottom line is you can only do it for so long and not make any money. Eventually, you have to make money for the business to survive, and right now, the way prices are, they're negative. The returns are negative. So the frustration builds when you do this work day in, day out, and at the end of it, you're farther behind than when you started.
Lisa, coming back to you, what you were mentioning about weather, I mean, Mother Nature plays a huge role in agriculture. So how do you deal with that kind of uncertainty, that kind of pressure that you must face every day, all the time?
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of businesses that do deal with weather as part of their business, but farming is for sure unique. Right this summer, we've had a lot of rain, which has been good for some things and not good for if you're a hay farmer and you're trying to cut hay and dry it and get it baled up before the next shower. And then you're on those timelines where you know rain's coming, and then your machinery breaks down. And yeah, and so there's so many things that are not in your control. Yeah, I think that over time it just does eat away at you.
Brian, how do you cope? What are the mechanisms you use in the face of the things that Lisa's described and you've described? How do you cope?
Well, what I didn't say in that first narrative is I really enjoy it. In spite of all of that, I enjoy it. And I think that if you don't, that stress would wear you down. I am fortunate to say that I'm part of the supply managed industry. And that means that we do, as a general rule, receive a fair return for our efforts. We manage the supply and we manage the price to generate a return. A return. It doesn't mean that there's not still the stresses of operating a business, but to fall into that negative cash flow system, your cash flow position is it's not. It's not not impossible is I guess is the word I'm looking for, because the price is set in the dairy industry, at least, that 50% of the producers will earn fair return for their efforts. That means the other 50% aren't. So that's a driver to increase efficiency, but it means that 50% of the producers aren't earning a fair return, and that's in the supply managed commodity, the dairy industry specifically. No such mechanism exists in the cropping sector. You're at the whims of the market.
But Brian, you're an eighth generation dairy farmer north of Trenton in Northumberland County. Has the longevity of your family's involvement in dairy farming made a difference for you to help cope with the stresses of being a farmer?
Well, that's a good question. I think because there's eight generations behind me, there's pressure to make sure that I'm not the last one. So, I think that's an issue that I deal with, and I don't know if that's a pressure or if I feel it as an obligation or responsibility to those that have gone before me, but it's certainly in my mind.
Lisa, what is the role of family, spouses, and children in helping you cope with the pressures and the stresses of farming?
Yeah, I think that contributes. That can be a great coping mechanism, but it can also contribute to the stresses of it, because if you are constantly working with your weather and things don't happen the way you had planned, that starts interfering with personal plans. Yeah, so there has to be a balance between your personal commitments and how to manage things on the farm. Because you have to look at the personal things as feeding your mental health, I believe. And so, as hard as it is to try to balance that, because you're trying to get something done before the next rain. And you don't have time to go to watch your kid's soccer game. Yeah, it's a really difficult balance.
Brian, farmers generally work alone. What is the role of the broader community in contributing to supporting farmers?
From my personal experience, I've always enjoyed the opportunity to leave the farm and participate in things like the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture. I'm not sure that's reduced my stress level, but it's a different gives you certainly a different perspective. And for me, the Northumberland Federation and OFA after that has been very, very rewarding. And I think it's a different type of stress. And I think a certain amount of stress is positive. It makes me perform better. And changing that up by being involved in other things, such as the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture, the Ontario Federation of Agriculture, really, variety's the spice of life, I guess. So I like different things, and that helps me. I look forward to the next NFA meeting, the next OFA meeting. So that helps me, deal with the day-to-day pressures of the farm.
Change is as good as a rest.
Yeah, those are the words I was looking for, Lisa.
Lisa, how about you? What role does the broader community play in your world supporting your activity as a farmer?
In what respect?
I just mean, community groups, sports groups, church groups, those kinds of things, the things that are around you. How do they play a role in supporting you as you do your work as a farmer?
Yes, it was making me think when Brian was talking, when you're around other farmers, talking to them about their stresses. I think farmers are really good at X, it used to be Twitter, sharing their struggles. So you don't feel quite so alone, like it's happening, misery loves company sort of thing. But it is important. Personally, I like interacting with people who aren't in the farming industry and being a bit of an advocate for farming, because there are so many that don't understand what farming is about or how things are or what things are. And just having some of those basic conversations is it's rewarding, really. And they are very thankful for the information and that little bit of connection.
Brian, can you paint us a picture of the reality? When you're out and you're talking to farmers, what are they saying to you about the mental stresses? I mean, I mentioned some statistics early in our conversation, but can you bring it down to a local level and maybe share with us, not necessarily the individuals' names or anything, but maybe paint us a picture of what it's like for farmers and do they talk to you about the mental stress?
Well, that's an interesting question, Robert, because we know that mental health issues are widespread, not just among the farm population, but all of the population. But I don't think I have ever heard a farmer confide in me their struggles with mental health. I know they're there. The numbers say they're there, but it's something that farmers keep to themselves. And it would be very, very unusual, I think, for a farmer to open up to another farmer that they're having struggles. I think that would be unusual, at least in my circle.
Lisa, what is the Farmer Wellness Initiative? Can you tell us what that is about?
So the Farmer Wellness Initiative was started in 2020 locally to support farmers who are struggling, but also I believe to make them more aware of the issues that are around and that everybody is having them at some sort of degree. And not only our physical health, but our mental health is really important for the success of our businesses. So putting more value on our mental health is something that is the message that we were trying to or are trying to get out there. And talking about it makes it more palatable, I guess.
So Lisa, how does it work?
The Farmer Wellness program has counselors who have agriculture backgrounds or knowledge, training of agriculture to help them relate and better understand the issues that the clients that they are dealing with. And it makes everybody a little bit more, well, you don't have to spend half your time explaining, what haying is or what milking a cow is, or you can spend your time in your session talking about the issues you're having rather than the background to the issues. So that was the important part for a farmer wellness program, is to cut out that section and have somebody that you could relate to. So we have counselors in the program that people can contact and avoid those little time periods where they have to explain everything.
Lisa, last month, the Ontario government expanded its mental health support to farm workers by putting an additional $538,000 into the programs. Can you tell us why this is significant?
Yeah, we locally, we were supporting the migrant farm workers in their struggles for counseling when they're here, because they are under a lot of stress. And we are happy to see that that funding provincially is going to the same issues. I don't have any firsthand experience with the migrant workers, but I have heard the stories of the pressures that they have working here, being not being sent back, all the mental struggles that go along with those stresses. So it's nice to see that the programs have expanded to support our migrant workers, who are really important for providing food for our citizens.
Lisa, farmers in Northumberland County have had long talked about the need for mental health support. Can you give us a bit of background on what has taken place locally?
Locally, we were responding to the mental health issues globally, recognizing that we wanted to take care of the agriculture industry and give them options that could help them be take care of their mental health better. So that's why in 2019, we Northumberland Federation sponsored a mental health first aid course, and we started. So that was in 2019, and we had that course and had people from our industry come and do that course. And it was a 2-day course, and it was very interesting and enlightening, and made everybody have conversations. And that sparked us to go forward and do more with it, and hence establishing the Farmer Wellness Program.
Tell me more about that process, because that's really interesting. I mean, 2019 was before the pandemic, and I'm sure the pandemic exacerbated all these stresses. So how did it go from being a local program in Northumberland to a provincial program?
Well, there you go. That's something. So I just deal with locally. That's something that maybe Brian knows a little bit more about, because OFA sort of took the reins a little bit and established a more widespread, because we didn't want it to be just county. We were encouraging other counties and other federations to, do similar things. And then OFA took the reins and went, okay, this is a good thing. As far as I remember, do you, Brian?
I think you've hit on all the points that I'm most familiar with. I think the OFA and the province just built on the success of the local initiative here. I know that locally here, when I joined, there was a program where the four counties put money in a fund and provided counseling up to four free sessions per year. And that was with local counselors and involving the four local counties. And I think from there, the program has just expanded provincially and just building on the success that we had here, or building on the model, I should say, that we had here. The model being counselors that are familiar with agriculture, really, that's the most important part.
With all these pressures that are placed on farmers, and we've alluded to some of them through our conversation, if you had a magic wand, Brian, and you could change things, what would be some of the things that could be done practically that might help alleviate some of these pressures and stresses?
Well, I think that's easy. I think we need an awareness of the importance of agriculture in Canada. You know, right from land use to trade policies, energy policies, those types of things. It seems that agriculture, although it's you know, ranks one and two with GDP with the auto sector in Ontario, the importance of it economically is certainly, you know, illustrated by that. But you know, we're under constant pressure with land use and, you know, the carbon tax and those types of things that are working against us, quite frankly. They're working against food production. And those of us in agriculture have a really hard time understanding that. We can't understand that, you know, not only do we have the day-to-day pressures of running a business, it seems that constantly there's an obstacle that we are running up against that doesn't need to be there. And it would make the operation of the day-to-day business, which is food production, be much easier. But it's frustrating that we're running up against, you know, barriers constantly that, you know, 20 years ago just weren't there.
I agree with Brian. Trying to get value for what we're doing just from citizens. I remember through COVID when we got to experience empty shelves. And I was like, oh, okay, now people are going to value food more. And they're going to put more emphasis and pay more attention to issues that will affect food production. And I'm not so sure that has happened because, you know, we had that time period, it's gone, we carry on. Buying local, supporting your Canadian food so we can feed our citizens. We know what it was like when we couldn't get vaccines for COVID because we didn't produce that in this country. So now, you know, would you want to have your food rely on another country to support your citizens with food? It's something that I think a lot of people should value more and pay more attention to.
Those are big picture issues and very much impact the success of farmers, no matter what is the state of their mental health. In terms of mental health, though, let's be specific. Is there stuff that people can do locally in Northumberland that can help support the mental health of farmers in our community? I'll start with you, Lisa. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, locally, when there are policies that are put in place that add pressure to farmers, that increases their stress level. So when those policies go against what farmers are trying to do, that's adding stress. So if we could eliminate or make those policies go in a better direction, that helps the stress level for farmers. Brian,
do you have anything you'd like to add?
From time to time, OFA does offer mental health training, you know, recognizing others that have had mental or having mental health issues, knowing the tools to help that person. Those, you know, webinars, seminars are available. And, you know, it never hurts to get involved in that sort of thing, even if you think you're just fine. It never, you may have some issues that you're dealing with and struggling with that you may be unaware of. So getting involved in those programs that are offered, you know, is a good strategy to deal with your mental health. And it's easy to do. They're usually webinars at noon hour, an hour long, that sort of thing. And OFA offers those. You just have to pay attention on the website and see when they're available and sign up. It's as simple as that.
I also think, you know, just talking about mental wellness, it makes people feel better about what they're thinking because they're not feeling quite so alone. So communication, I think, is really important. Just having those conversations with people.
What more would we like to see? Is there anything coming up that we should be aware of?
I think with the additional funding, you'll see expansion of what's already there going in directions. Like we all know, money helps to expand things and feed the creativity of filling the needs. So when there is more money put into an area, that starts the process going. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here provincially. You know, that's going to help everybody.
Lisa Meeks, Brian Cruz, thank you so much for talking to me today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome, Robert.
That was two members of the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture, Lisa Meeks and Brian Cruz. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.